Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's Dylan. Of course, this is Short Stuff. Short Stuff. Now.
So, Josh, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I know that every time we go to Chicago, you're always like, this is the creepiest place I've ever been. It feels haunted. Forget New Orleans.
Right.
Forget other creepy places. This Chicago is the scariest place on earth.
Right. I do say that.
And you know what? After listening to this story, you might be right.
Yeah, yeah. It is a surprising town. Like, that's kind of where the Dunes murders started. That's where the Tylenol murders were, I think,
was
in Chicago.
I just realized this is the third one, huh?
Yeah, at the very least. At the very least. And in fact, part of this this episode takes place in Edgewater Hospital, which look up abandoned Edgewater Hospital. There's like 50 pictures of this abandoned hospital. Oh my gosh.
God, those are the best.
And I think it was abandoned maybe in the 90s. It's like this empty abandoned hospital in a high rise. But it's where Hillary Clinton was born and where John Wayne Gacy was born.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they crib mates?
I don't know. I didn't go to the trouble of checking out their ages to see how far apart they were, but wouldn't that be weird?
Has the alt-right linked them together?
Eventually, if not, they will now. We just gave them a little shred.
Like, no, but we'll look into it.
So at this Edgewater Hospital, there's a woman named Teresita Bassa who worked there, and she was 47. She was Filipino, and apparently she was a well-to-do Filipino aristocrat.
Mm-hmm.
Expat who lived in America and worked as a respiratory therapist nurse at Edgewater Hospital. And she lived in Chicago proper, not in the suburbs. And one day she is discovered in her apartment under a smoldering pile of clothing, naked, with a kitchen knife sticking out of her chest. She'd been murdered. I think the fire department found her and they were really surprised with what they found.
Yeah, it was a pretty routine call for them of an apartment fire on February 2nd, 77. And under a mattress a clear murder because of that kitchen knife sticking out of her chest.
Right.
And that would have been heck of an accident.
Sure. You stab yourself in the chest and then set your clothing on fire under a mattress. It would have been a heck of an accident, right? So this is, unfortunately, it just goes unsolved. There's like 6 months, and these detectives who are working the case, they try out every lead. They start doing some investigating. They find, maybe there were people who wanted her dead. Nobody had the right motive or opportunity. There was no good suspect, and they reached a total dead end within 6 months.
That's right. So Detective Joe Statula of Homicide came in one day, about 6 months later, saw a note on his desk that said, call the Evanston Police Department.
Right.
About the Teresita Bassa case. He called Evanston, and they said, hey, you need to call Dr. Jose Chua in Skokie. And he said, couldn't they have just put that on the note? Would have saved me a phone call.
Right.
And they said, we wanted you to know it came from us.
Right.
So Skokie, Illinois, which always reminds me of Usual Suspects.
Oh, definitely.
Does it to you, too?
Barbershop Quartet in Skokie.
That's right, in Skokie, Illinois.
Yeah.
They went to see Dr. Jose, we call him Joe, Chua,
right?
Who was also a Filipino, as we'll see.
Yeah.
And they interviewed him, and he said, a weird thing has happened here. My wife, she's 38 years old. She has gone into trances three different times, saying in Tagalog that she is Teresita Bassa, mm-hmm. and she needs help solving her murder, and here's who did it.
Right, which is very, very weird and kind of something that you would probably ignore, especially if you got a call from somebody saying, yeah, my wife went into a trance and said that she's a murder victim.
Yeah.
But there were two things going on here. One, Stachula and his partner had reached a total dead end in this case, and really any lead was worth pursuing at this point.
Right.
And then two, not only had the doctor's wife, what is it, Remibasa? No, Remibius.
Remibius.
Remibius Chua. Dr. Jose Chua's wife. Not only had she said that she was this murder victim, she named the murderer. And she also said that the murderer had been in Teresita's apartment and had stolen things from it, and that some of that stolen goods were jewelry that he had given to his girlfriend. So the fact that like this voice from the grave was saying that she was a murder victim and also saying who did it and what they did with the jewelry, that was enough apparently to convince the detectives to follow up on it.
And not only that, before we take our little break, she gave names of people who could identify this jewelry and telephone numbers of those people.
Yeah, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, Ron Samara, Ken Bassa, Richard Pesotti, and Ray Kings. And that's not even the murderer. So that's a pretty good setup. I think we'll take a break.
Okay.
And we'll tell you what happened right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
All right, so she says in these trances in Tagalog that she is this murdered woman.
Teresita Bassa.
Uh-huh. This guy broke into my house who works at my hospital as a respiratory technician.
Yeah.
He comes in to ostensibly fix a television, murders me, steals my jewelry that was given to me in France as a gift from my father to my mom. Mm-hmm. He stole the stuff. Here's the people that can verify it. Here are their phone numbers. They decide to investigate, and it checks out.
It checks out. That's the crazy thing.
That's the crazy thing.
The detectives start looking into this, and they're like, oh, there is this man named Alan Showery, and he did work with Teresita Bassa, so let's go visit him. And they went to—
Because she named him. We've gotten that across, right?
Right.
She said, Alan Showery killed me.
Right. That this woman in the trance said, this man, Alan Showery, was my murderer.
Yes.
So the detective, and she gave enough information, the detectives followed up on it. They went to visit Alan Showery, and they said, hey, will you come down to the station with us? And he went with them voluntarily, which is very important, as we'll see in a minute. And they started interviewing him about Teresita Bassa's murder. Apparently, they read him his rights. They did everything by the book. They didn't arrest him or anything like that, but he started answering questions down at the station. And the more questions he answered, the more they started to suspect that he was lying because they were actually catching him in lies and contradictions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he admitted to having gone to her apartment to help her fix the TV, but that she had called and canceled before he got there, so he went home instead. Well, the second thing they did was they went to his apartment and talked to his girlfriend and said, "Hey, has your boyfriend given you any jewelry recently?" She said, "Well, yeah, he gave me this pendant and this ring as a late Christmas present, and I love them. Don't they just look divine?"
The late Christmas present.
And the detectives say, "Well, yes, that does look very nice.
Yeah.
But can we see these things or take pictures of them?" I don't know if they took them from her. And they had Teresita Bass's relatives that had been named, apparently, by Remy Chua to come down and look at these this jewelry and say yay or nay whether it was Teresita's. And they said yay.
This is remarkable. So this is all plowing ahead. Mm-hmm. He is arrested and charged. There is a trial hearing.
Hold on. He confessed.
Oh, yeah.
So he confessed and
he still has to go
arrested.
To trial.
Sure, right.
So they have a trial hearing on a motion from the assistant public defender, William Suano. And he says, "You know what? There's no probable cause here. They got a call about a trance that I think this woman faked. And that arrest was illegal to begin with because they lacked probable cause. And never to my knowledge," quote, "never to my knowledge has a man been arrested because of a supernatural vision.
Right.
Police have never been informed of a criminal's name by a voice from the grave." And the judge went, "Except until now," because that's exactly what happened, dude.
Yeah, the judge upheld it in this hearing to throw out the entire arrest because, again, Chuck, like, regardless of whether this trance was Teresita Bassa possessing Remy Chua, regardless of what you think of that, in the annals of American justice, there is a case where a man was arrested strictly because of a tip that detectives received from a woman claiming to have been possessed by the murder victim. That happened.
Yeah, and the judge said, "I see no reason to restrict the investigatory power of the police." Mm-hmm. Whether they believe the voices or not, they had to check it out. And that was sort of the party line, which was like, "Hey, man, it doesn't matter if a dog came out and peed out a name on the street." Like, they went to this guy's house and he did it.
Right.
So, like, who cares?
That was basically the whole thing. Like, they,
yeah.
Because the police followed proper procedure, because they advised him of his rights, because Alan Showery went with them voluntarily and answered their questions voluntarily, and the fact that he confessed, like, all of this, it doesn't matter as far as the law is concerned whether Teresita Bassa possessed Remy Chua or not. They followed procedure and they followed up on this tip. And so there's a trial. And during the trial, Alan Showery, it looked like he might get off. There was a mistrial, in fact. But then he surprised everybody. While he was awaiting a new trial, he pled guilty.
Yeah.
And didn't get a second trial, and instead was given something like 14 years for the murder, and then 4 years each for robbery and arson. But he only served, I think, something like 5.
Yeah.
Which
is crazy, too.
In and of itself, it is crazy. But he was caught strictly because of that call from Remy Chua's husband, Dr. Jose Chua. And so now you have to go back and say, how much of this is true? And apparently, everything we've said is true and verified, that there were reports done on it. That thing about that hearing, that was from a Washington Post article we found from 1978, I believe.
Oh, yeah, this is all true. Then no one came out later and said, you know, my wife's actually an amateur investigator, and she thought it'd be kind of fun to solve this case and then present it and wrap it in the enticing book jacket of a trance.
Right. I think we found some guy, an historian from Chicago, wrote a post about it. And he kind of captured what I suspect. One thing that gets left out very frequently is that Remy Chua was a coworker
of all three,
kind of
all
friend.
Two.
Yeah, of Teresita Bassa, went to a party at her apartment, so knew where she lived, and then also knew Alan Showery and was actually scared of Alan Showery. So this historian posits that she was actually so afraid of coming forward, but so overcome by the guilt of keeping this this thought to herself.
Oh, that it came out through
it just came out like that. And that
makes
that
sense.
It would be more culturally acceptable to do that than to, you know, just keep it to herself.
Interesting.
And that's where the trance came from, that she somehow acquired all this knowledge. If that's the case, that's still pretty interesting, too.
Yeah, she could have been sleepwalking and talking.
Sure.
Which appears like a trance. But either way, it's all pretty remarkable.
It is pretty remarkable. One of the most remarkable cases in American law enforcement and justice.
And that's why we dedicated 12 minutes to it.
More than that, man. 13 and a half, baby. That's it for this short stuff, right?
That's right.
Short stuff away.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.